Thank you. You know, Brother Henderson said that he had great difficulty at church when he was dating a blonde. Do you know why? Now, blondes are fine, but the Lord didn't intend for him to marry a blonde. If you look at his son, you'll see that the Lord had a brunette for Brother Henderson, because this Brother Don looks like his mother. And everybody said, praise the Lord. That's for what you said about Arkansas yesterday. Seriously. Seriously, I want to say a big amen to the sermon yesterday. It was so good that I'm going to buy some tapes and share with some people I love very much, because I consider it to be a very valuable sermon. Likewise, the one on Wednesday and the one on Tuesday, and it's a joy to share with this group. Now, let us open our Bibles together. I believe you have been given an outline so you know the basic text. I will first be reading only two verses. I'm going to read in the King James because I'm more familiar with the context in the King James. However, you will notice in the list you have there in the middle of the page that I have used the translations that are in both the NASV and the NIV. I believe the NASV and the NIV agree at this point on the wordings. And so I've given you the Greek term and the little chart there, and I've given the words, as I believe they are, a little better translated in the NAV and the NIV and the NASV. But let us read together Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The first word is a negative conjunction because we've just seen an ugly, sordid picture of the works of the flesh. And that, of course, is like an epitome of, like a paradigm or a thumbnail sketch of our world in which we live outside Christ. Can you say amen? Amen. It's an ugly, cold, desolate, desperate world out there. And yet, there is that wonderful word, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, or kindness, goodness, faith, meekness, or gentleness, and temperance. Now, by noticing the way these words have been translated, you do see immediately that two of them are practically interchangeable. Now, I would just like to begin this morning by asking you a question which is more or less rhetorical. Would you like to be a really beautiful person? Not just on the outside, because that changes with time. An accident can erase it all in a moment. How many would like to be a really beautiful person? How many want to be like Jesus? We do. That's why we're here. This is like a pin portrait here of our Lord Jesus. And I want to say I didn't write in my thesis trying to get information I wanted to you. My thesis would be this: the main purpose of the Holy Spirit, whom we have been studying for 4 days, is to make us like Jesus. And we do not have to choose between gifts and fruit. In fact, we're never allowed to choose between gifts and fruit because he's the giver of them all. Amen? They have the same source, the same Holy Spirit who draws us to Christ. All the wonderful work Brother Longstaff gave to us on Tuesday, and then the wonderful baptism in the Holy Spirit. The same one who gives gifts and power is the same one who produces the fruit to make us like Jesus. God's main goal in all of human history, all that has occurred in human history, his main goal is Romans 8:29, that he would have individuals conform to the image of Christ, that Jesus might be the firstborn among many brethren. God wants a big family, and I'm so glad this morning I'm in that family of God. I know that I am in the family of God. Can you say praise God? Now, let us look first at the nature of the fruit, then we'll talk about the nurture of the fruit. The nature of the fruit of the Spirit is that it comes from life. Fruit cannot be produced apart from life. Let me say that I may have to interrupt myself briefly to sip some water so graciously placed here because I have a cough. I have a dry throat. I have a tickling in my throat. And I thought at first, now that's going to really interrupt a sermon. And then I realized water speaks of life. So if I have to stop and take a drink, it's all part of my sermon, okay? There'll never be any Christ-likeness until the Holy Spirit brings life within. We first got to be born again. And to be born again is to be born of the Spirit. He is the Spirit of life. Romans 8, 9, and 10. He is the Spirit of life. Now I'm going to say that life in the Spirit, life by the Spirit, is the greatest force in the universe. Because it's God's life within us. And on the farm where I grew up, we had a large garden with a fence around it. At one corner of that garden was a fence post. My dad had taken a catalpa tree. Now, a catalpa tree does not happen to be a fruit-bearing tree in the sense of fruit that one eats. It does have a little kind of fruit on it, as most trees do. Biologically, they label it all fruit. We only call fruit what we eat. But this catalpa tree was sawed into pieces, and then it was quartered. And each quarter became a post. Out of that post, after it had been cut down and then quartered, I'm here to tell you, because I grew up seeing it, that post sprouted when they put it in the ground, and that post grew into a catalpa tree. It had a funny-looking trunk, you can imagine. But there it was. It grew to be a big catalpa tree. Now, if you're not familiar with the catalpa, it has huge leaves. It made the most wonderful shade. It made a solid shade for us to make our playhouses in when I was a little girl, and when we weren't having to work in the garden next by. And that catalpa tree, why? Because natural life is a fantastic force. They tell me that some of the seeds that had been buried in some of those tombs in Egypt were taken out, I believe they were peas, if I'm not mistaken, planted in the ground, and they sprouted after centuries. Why? Because God, our Creator, is a God of life. But the Holy Spirit life brings life stronger than catalpa and stronger than peas. It's a force. And let me tell you this morning, if you're struggling in your Christian life, just begin to drink a little. You get a little rain from heaven falling on you, and you're going to find out that you're not near so dead as you feel. There's life there. It just needs some water to fall on it. Get it in the ground of the Word and let a little bit of water hit your roots. And man, you're going to blossom and spring forth and bear fruit. Why? Because there's life in you. Aren't you glad? The same Holy Spirit who gives us life is the one who gives the fruit. And that fruit is Christ-like character. Character is one of my favorite words. Character. I remember a little wall hanging I've seen. I've seen it in a few homes, and I've seen it in lots of gift shops. I don't remember what nationality is, but seems like it's Dutch, maybe. Maybe it goes with, we'll ask Brother Flockstra about that, since he knows all about a Dutch rub. And is Flockstra Dutch? Why, all right. You can tell me if this is Dutch. It says you're supposed to hang it in the kitchen after you get married or whenever. It says, cooking lasts, kissing don't. Is that Dutch? That's Dutch. Well, I'm going to say it like this. Gifts may not last. Fruit does. Gifts are given, and I'm all for the gifts of the Spirit. I wish I had all 9 of them operative in my life. Don't you? Absolutely, I do. And, okay, let's look at the relationship to spiritual gifts. First of all, I've already said the same one who gives the gifts gives the fruit. So you can't choose, pick and choose. I've heard people who didn't really like the gifts of the Spirit very much anyway. They'd say, well, I'll let others have the gifts. I'll take love. You can't do that because he's the giver and he gives as he wills. And gifts and fruit are mutually conducive because they come from the same source. And the best way, in my opinion, and I believe I'm scriptural, to be used in the gifts of the Spirit is to get filled with the fruit of the Spirit in your life. The love of God flowing, Romans 5:5, poured out in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, will cause the gifts, will cause us to be in a condition before God that the gifts can be operative for the glory of God. What does it say about Jesus? Often before he did his greatest miracles, it says he was moved with what? You know what compassion is? Compassion is nothing else but love reaching out. That's all. He was moved with love. He was moved with the kind of love that made him feel with the other person. They are conducive. Love is the guideline, as Brother McGee mentioned a while ago. Love is the guideline for the gifts. We never would have had, it seems we would not have had, we don't know all the ways God planned to give us all the scripture, but at any rate, 1 Corinthians 13, the most beautiful exposition of love ever given. It has been called even by the world of literature the most beautiful poem in the English language. We never would have had it just as it is had it not been that in chapter 12 and in chapter 14, Paul is dealing with the proper use of the gifts of the Spirit. And he says, I don't want you to stop using the gifts of the Spirit. I don't want you to stop speaking in tongues at all. 1 Corinthians 14:5, very clearly, I want you all to continue speaking in tongues. But I'd rather that you prophesy because love causes you to want to edify the church. And they were having tongues without interpretation, and everybody was just wanting to talk in tongues to show how spiritual they were. And so Paul is saying, let your gifts be motivated and operated in love. And love is the basis for the operation of the gifts. Love will cause us to be open to the gifts. And young people, I believe this, and I believe that my brothers and sisters here who have been serving the Lord a long, long time will agree with me, that the Holy Spirit is the giver of the gifts. Therefore, if you really love God and you really love people and you're called to do a work, any gift that is needed at a given time, the Holy Spirit can give you that gift right then, at that moment in your life. Can you say praise God? Praise God. He abides. He's the giver of the gifts. If you never were used in a gift before, you can be used when the occasion demands that particular gift. God wants his work to go forward. And if you truly love and you're moving in love, then love is that which prepares you for that gift to be operated in the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Love enhances the reception of the gifts, and love guides the use of the gifts. I remember when the latter rain movement, it was called. You young people don't remember it because it's about the time you were born, most of you. But there was a movement that hit the country called the Latter Rain. And about all they talked about was the gifts, the gifts, the gifts, the gifts. You just got sick of the word gifts if you were around any of these people because it was about all they could talk about. Now, our district superintendent in Arkansas was a very spiritual man, great man of God. I owe so much to David Burris. And so he had had to deal with a man in the Arkansas district. He had had to discipline him, and eventually the man had to be excommunicated from the Assemblies of God Fellowship, his papers taken, because he lived a rotten life. And it was proved time after time. He had no, his character, it was just very bad. And so when this Latter Rain movement hit, he was one of the big ducks in the puddle. And some people came to Brother Burris and said, "Oh, Brother Burris, you should be in such and such a town." "Oh," he said, "what's happening there?" "Well," they said, "Brother so-and-so has a group." And he said, "they all have gifts." And he said, "Well, does Brother so-and-so have lots of gifts?" "Oh, yes." Then they began to name all the gifts he had. They said, "He even has the gifts of taking on offering." And Brother Burris thought to himself, "I don't doubt that in the least." And but they were naming all these gifts of the Spirit, all the nine plus a whole bunch. And so Brother Burris thought it over a little while. And then with that twinkle in his eye that was so characteristic of him, he said, "Would you tell me one thing?" He said, "Tell me, has he received the gift of living right?" That's what the fruit of the Spirit's all about. Character. You know, you can take any kind of a tree and make a Christmas tree out of it. Now, I know we think it has to be spruce, fir, cedar, pine. But you go to other parts of the world, they'll make a Christmas tree out of most any kind of a tree because all the tree they have. You cannot tell the nature of a tree by the gifts or by the trimming. Not even by spiritual gifts. You say, "But Sister Redden, you couldn't have a spiritual gift unless you're really a person of love, could you?" Well, there has to be a little of the fruit in that sense that you are saved, but you can live a carnal life because God is merciful, you know. God is very merciful. He said, "Though I have all these gifts and don't have love, I'm just like a..." How much music is there in that? None. You don't know what I'm saying. You don't know what I'm saying. I'm not really saying anything, just making a noise. And he said, if you do all that stuff, give your body to be burned, give all your goods, and you don't do it from love, and you talk in tongues. I remember when I was a little girl, being at church, and there was one of the women, she could talk in tongues more than anybody. Not only could she talk in tongues, and I'm not against noise, you know me, but she could talk in tongues louder than anybody. And when she talked in tongues, it sounded like she was mad at everybody. Now, I'm not saying that woman did not have a genuine utterance in tongues, because I kind of think she did. She finally got her life straightened around, I'm told, by people who know. And praise God, because we all make mistakes. We all have to learn, okay? But one night, she almost soured me on speaking in tongues. I was just a little girl, and I've never forgot it. Church was over, and her little girl, about my age, had gone to sleep. You went to sleep at church in those days because you were there till midnight. And if you were smart, you'd just go on to sleep because you had to go. I'm talking about the children. And so her daughter had been asleep, and her daughter couldn't wake up. And her mother was trying to get her awake. Just a few minutes before, she had been just talking in tongues so loud. But her daughter couldn't get awake. Her daughter didn't know whether it's time to get on the school bus or what. She'd been asleep. And her mother boxed her jaws until I could feel it. And I was quite a distance away. The reverberation of, and oh, I thought, oh, if that's what talking in tongues does to mothers, keep mine quiet, Lord. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? It makes people sick to hear our great words and then see how we live when it's not the fruit of the Spirit, it's the fruit of flesh. It wasn't the Holy Spirit that made her do that to her little girl. It was plain old flesh. Somebody said, but old Christians can't have flesh. Look, the book of Galatians was not written to sinners. It's written to Christians, believers. And it says, walk in the Spirit, and then you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. A corollary to that is, if you don't walk in the Spirit, you will fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And I bear witness, I found that to be true. How about you? Because, verse 17, the flesh lusts against the Spirit. I'll come to law. I have law and then flesh on my outline. I'll come back to law, okay? And the Spirit against the flesh, they are antithetical to each other. One will try to kill the other all the time and every time. You say, but I got a new nature. Yes, you do have a new nature, but you don't have to walk after it unless you choose to. Thank God for the new nature. That's the life. But to Christians, he says, the Bible never says to sinners, the Spirit is warring against the flesh, because they don't have the Spirit to war against the flesh. They're in the flesh, period. They're servants of Satan, period. But when you come into Christ, that's when the battle really starts. And there is a battle. Praise God, there's victory in the battle. Come to that, I hope. The law and condemnation belong together. But the only thing that can fulfill the law is Spirit, love. The fruit of the Spirit fulfill the law. How do they? Because, he says in verse 14, if you love your neighbor as yourself, you're not going to commit adultery, right? That's what he says. You're not going to throw a temper tantrum, right? That's right. That's what he says. Why? Love is even higher than all that. Love fulfills the law. All right, let's move to the fruit of the Spirit. Why is it singular? Because the Holy Spirit, there's only one Holy Spirit. And when he gives gifts, he gives them apportioned severally, individually. He gives one at a specific time to a specific person. Not so with the fruit. So you have plural gifts, singular fruit. He never gives the fruit in isolation. You can't say, well, I'll take the love myself, but I'll reject the patience. I'll take the joy, but that self-control, I'll save that for when I'm 29, 40. No, you can't do that. To do that, you're getting back into the flesh. You're doing it. The Holy Spirit, if he produces one, he's producing all. And the word love really covers the whole bunch. If you understand what love is, the fruit of the Spirit, if you take love in its biblical definition. Now, what I have done here, incidentally, I find in the pulpit some fruit. Lo and behold. The reason I have some fruit here, I have some of the left-hand column, the genuine. Left-hand column, I have the genuine, that of the Spirit. With showing how we're like Jesus, illustrations. On the right-hand side, I have what a lot of God's children are hung up on today. People out in the world are hung up on it too, but we'll not talk about them since they're not here. We'll talk about us. A lot of Christians are hung up in this right-hand column. The fruit of the Spirit is often imitated but never duplicated. It either comes from the Spirit or it doesn't come. It's either from the Spirit or it's not real. It's either from the Spirit or it's not. It won't last. Love never fails. 1 Corinthians 13. Now, how many of these, you can't see them all, but you get a pretty good look. How many do you think are real, and how many do you think are plastic, imitation? I tell you what. I tell you what, I'm going to hold them up one at a time, and you tell me, and I'm going to let Brother Lednick sample it and tell you if you're right. He's got to take a bite of it, okay? Okay, I think I gave it away on that. Is that real? Okay. Is that real? Come on, Brother Lednick, you take a bite of it.
It'll pull my teeth. I had a close look.
Hold on, I want you just another minute. Is that one real?
Yeah.
Check it. It's yours. I'll give you this one too.
It tastes pretty good.
Now, okay, you want to test a little more? Yes, it is. It really is. Here, Brother Henderson.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Try it. Prove it to them. They don't believe it's real.
It's rotten.
Oh, here. Come here, I got one for you. See what I mean? Is this one real? Yes, it is.
That.
No, I can't give him a rotten one. How about it, is it?
Oh, that's a good one.
I didn't see you taste it. You get part of it. What did the psalmist say? Oh, taste and see that what? And that's not all of it. Paul could say, you follow me as I do what? And he said to the people who had seen him night and day for 3 years, you know my life. People are going to taste our life. We are told, young people, by district superintendents and other leaders, that the main dropout of Bible school graduates, not just ours, but all, does not come because they don't have gifts of the Spirit. Now, I'm all for gifts of the Spirit, so don't anyone misunderstand me. If you've been in my classes, you know that. If you haven't, believe me. Nobody wants more of the Pentecostal outpouring in the supernatural than I do, I don't believe, and believes anymore. But we don't have a great dropout and great problems with young ministers getting fired. They don't always just resign. They get fired sometimes one way or another. Why? Because they have not developed character. They don't have the fruit of the Spirit. They can't get along with the senior pastor. They can't get along with the rest of the staff. They can't get along with their wife. If you can't get along with your wife, you can't get along with anybody, right? I'm going to say that again. Some of you didn't hear. If you can't get along with your own wife, then you can't get along with anybody, right? You're only plastic. God, that same goes for the husbands, you wives. And it goes for the people close to you. If you can't get along with the people close to you, what in the world makes you think that you're a fit subject to go and lead a whole group? There is a world love that's out in the world, and there's a lot of it that's in the church today. I see it and you see it. Love of self without love for God is at its base. That's this apple. It looks good. I took this one to the grocery store yesterday, and I tried to find two just like it. That rotten one I gave Brother Henderson had been in my refrigerator for about 3 months. It looked good on the outside. But when he felt of it, he could tell that this thing is mushy. He wouldn't bite it. I don't blame him. That's the way a lot of Christians are. I'm not totally condemning that, because I guess Dale Carnegie has helped some people to get jobs, you know. And so I'm not totally condemning that, but it's the way of the world, really, to take flesh and polish flesh and make it look like the genuine. But you and I can't operate on that. The world can operate on it if they want to. There is some love out in the world. I would be foolish to tell you there's no love at all out there. There are sinners who really love their families. There have even been sinner men who have loved their country enough to go die for it. And they did it willingly. And yet they weren't saved by it. But there is the common grace of God. And you know, we're born, when we're born into this world, we're born with a reaching out for love, because we're still made in the image of God. So there is some love, but it is not what we're talking about here, the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit never fails. The fruit of the Spirit loves its enemies. The love of the world loves its own. If the world loves you, you're its own. If you love the world, you're its own. Amen? Is that Bible? He said, if you love the world, the love of the Father is what? Not in you. The fruit of the Spirit will make you hate. Now, I'm not talking about people in the world. I'm talking about the world system that is out there of the flesh. And many of our graduates have learned how to act loving. They have learned how to act joyful. They have learned how to act peaceful. Oh, we put on fronts too much. We have learned how to act patient. Then we go to our room or somewhere and blow a fuse. We have learned how to act kind. This plastic thing over here. If you're hungry, that's not worth a penny to you if you're hungry, and this world is hungry and we're hungry. We're all hungry for love. Babies die from lack of love, we've learned. People die from lack of love. But it's got to be, as Christians, we've got to let God's love be wrought in us. People learn how to act good humanistically. People even learn to motivate their faith. And they say, now come on, let's have faith. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit and we'll have faith. Do we have a part? Yes, I'm coming to that. People learn to act gentle. There's a veneer of politeness. But under it is the jungle nature. Some ministers out there today are still hung up to a great degree into the plastic. They go to church and they preach, and you would think they're so good. But if you happen to spend quite a bit of time with them, you find they are rapacious. They're killing their brother, cutting him to shreds. They just delight. I remember a woman who came to move to Little Rock, an elderly lady. She was considered to be a mother in Israel. That's what they called her, a mother in Israel. I told my husband, I said, I don't like the look in her eye. I grew up on the farm, I told you, and I remember how setting hens look when you're trying to get to their nest. I know that look. I can see it. I can see it immediately. I said, to me, she looks like a mad setting hen. And she began to try to straighten out everybody in our church, because she felt her age and her spirituality qualified her. So one day we took her with us to a fellowship meeting. And she went, and so then she stayed at our home until church that night. I tell you, by the time my husband got home, I was saying, please get this woman out of this house. Why? As soon as we got into the kitchen where I was going to prepare a meal, she was filling my ear with garbage, gossip, because everybody was wrong but her. She knew everybody's faults. I didn't detect any love in that woman, I'm sorry to say. But you can also be very worldly. She wasn't worldly in the sense of gambling and watching the shows on TV. Satan comes to some people through just the love of the world. They just love to dance, worldly dancing I'm talking about. They just simply love worldly music. Some of you say, I love Jesus, and you also say, I love worldly music. You're talking out of both sides of your mouth. You're mixing the real and the plastic. It's going to tell on you. I think rather than going into the chart with what's in the center, seeing my time, I'll move on. But let me say this. God is far more concerned about what you are in the core of your being than He is about you're going out to witness. Does He want you to go out and witness? Of course. It's a command. But He said, Acts 1:8, you shall what? Be witnesses unto Me. Being is far more important than doing. One aspect of the syndrome of some of the disadvantages, there are disadvantages to all human institutionalizing. There are some, and yet there are more advantages. I believe in organization, absolutely believe in organization and accountability. And I believe in the Bible College, or I guarantee you I would not be dedicating my life to it. But there is one thing about Bible College that we must be aware of. You can learn the ministry. And it's the blight. It's death to your spiritual life. It's death. You can learn how to put on a service. Former President Crouch, in whose home I stayed a couple of nights with President and Mrs. Crouch, and they do send their greetings and love to all of you in Phoenix. He said, Sister Redden, I am so distressed about some things that I have to deal with in this work. He's in television. He manages a television station. He said, now we have church specialists in the church. They can have a seminar, and they can tell you how to raise funds, and they can guarantee you how much money they'll raise if they use a certain kind of appeal to people. Certain kind of appeal. The Word here tells us that if we are spiritual, according to the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 22 and 23, that verse 6 of the next chapter says, you will want to give. We should give because we love God. He said, it's just sickening to see the carnal methods that are being used to bring in money. Well, I've learned, because I've had plenty of people tell me, if I wanted to really be popular and make a lot of money, I could, because people are so gullible today. All you've got to do, really, if that's what you want here, if you want to be popular and rich, just learn how to manipulate people in what they think is spirituality, and I'll guarantee you, you can be both popular and rich. Now, maybe not everybody can pull it off, even though they know how. But a lot of people can. I want no part of that. I want no part of it because it's death. It's death to spirituality. I don't want it mixed in where I am. Brother Henderson dealt well with that yesterday. How do we nurture the fruit? First, recognize what is of the Spirit. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:14 and 15 that the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit, but the spiritual man judges all things. Thus, if you want to be spiritual, start being honest. If you want to be spiritual, start using your common sense in the first place. Don't let people tell you something is okay if in your heart you don't feel right about it. Listen to that voice of the Spirit. Cultivate the Spirit. Cultivate that which is spiritual. One of the main ways for all of us, but even in a more particular way of young people, is by the friends you have. If you want to cultivate the fruit of the Spirit, stay with people who are trying to live right. Stay with people that after you talk to them and go out on a date with them or go out to dinner with them, you go home feeling edified in your spirit as well as having had a good time. Now, if you want to clap a little, if you're clapping to the Lord, you can. Okay, Brother Henderson? I do agree with Brother Henderson about this carnal clapping. But you know, you young people haven't learned how to respond to sermons the way we did. We responded by praising the Lord and shouting glory. Amen. And it's not vain repetition if you really mean it. So if I say something you agree with, say amen. Say praise the Lord. It'll bless me and you too. Cultivate it. Cultivate the friends. Okay, that clock seems like, you know, it'll kind of hang for a minute and then just zooms around. Now, just as sure as Spirit comes by life, if I could have 5 minutes here and we'll still have 10 before class, okay? Before there can be life, there's got to be death. And speaking to us believers, Spirit-filled believers, the Word says you, not your brother nor your sister, but you, put to death the inordinate affection. Now all that plastic stuff, put it to death. I has got to be put to death. It's not grammatical, but I'm using I as ego, the self. Now, the world today has conned the church into something that's going on everywhere, it seems. I hear it everywhere I go. Self-image. Now, there is a need for a good self-image, but if you get a good self-image apart from loving God first and foremost, you've got the wrong self-image. And you can kid yourself all you want to, but when you get at home all alone and you wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, you're the same old carnal self you were beforehand, only worse. Because now you feel good about yourself. It's okay. It's okay. And so I see all these books out there on self, 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 self. Listen. You can't even deal with yourself right until you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You don't even know how to deal with self until you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. There's another thing that goes along with that whatever is love must be of God. A man who was a great camp meeting preacher in this country said to my husband and me as we were having dinner together one evening, he told us of a brother who was leaving his wife and going to marry somebody else. And then this man who was still strong in the Assemblies of God, in fact, I think he was preaching at that very meeting, said, you know, Brother Redden, it must be of God because God has given them love for one another. It was a word that starts with L, and it was a four-letter word, but it was not love. It was lust, pure and simple. The only thing that will make a man leave his wife, whom God commands him to love, and go for another woman is lust, the works of the flesh. Let me tell you, young people, God does forgive that kind of thing, but only where there's true repentance. And I want to warn you, you that are not married yet. Now, I'm not talking to people who are divorced, per se. No, I would never add a burden on you already. That's not my purpose. I'm saying to you who are married, you are married to the one to love. And if you say, I don't love her anymore, you're saying, God, I've lost the spirit. I'm not saved anymore. Amen. Is that Bible? The works of the flesh is adultery and fornication and putting your wife away. God says, love her. You say, I can't. She's my enemy. He said, love your enemy. It's because self is not crucified that 50% of the marriages are ending in divorce. It's because self is not crucified that Christians are divorcing one another. The flesh has got to be crucified. The world has got to be crucified. We do it by walking in the Spirit and sowing to the Spirit. What we sow, we reap. How do we sow to the Spirit? All we have to do is look at this list daily or occasionally and then say, Lord, I'm going to cultivate. I do have some of this in me. None of us here are sinlessly perfect. I'm still having to crucify the flesh. There are mornings I don't want to come to school. You knew it. The day after spring break, I said, oh, I wish I had another week. And I could have yielded to the flesh and stayed at home. I could have said, Dr. Kirsch, I don't feel like coming this morning. I'd have been telling the truth. I say, Dr. Kirsch, do you think it'd be all right just for once to yield to the flesh? He'd have said, Sister Redden, I prefer you walk in the Spirit today. So I get out of bed and I walk out to the car and I walk right into my classroom. Of course, by the time I see all your beautiful faces, I'm glad I'm here. We sow to the Spirit by being obedient step by step. Kills you sometimes to be obedient. Yeah, it kills you. But like the young man, he was always coming to the altar. He was there every time they opened the altar, and his prayer was always the same. Oh, Lord, take these spider webs out of my heart. Take all these cobwebs away. One dear old sister had heard that for years. One night I don't know whether this was patience or love. It was both. She said, oh, Lord, kill the spider. Kill the spider and you won't have any more cobwebs. Now, I really did, these good intentions we have, to have a real time for prayer, but I'm not going to take it because I've gone 5 minutes beyond. But I really, to the best of my ability, I love you young people. If I know my heart before God, I love you. And I believe I love God this morning. I've tried to give you a way to have a happy, whole life and be like Jesus in the words I've given to you. And I pray God bless them to you and let them bear fruit. The fruit will choke out the bad. Let me just tell you one little thing, because you're going to see it happening out there on that yard. There's still some old leaves hanging on those trees. I don't know how those leaves manage to hang on through the storms and the ice and the snow and the wind. And they're old. But you wait till the sap rises. Everyone will fall. You want to get rid of lying? You want to get rid of gossiping? You want to get rid of lust? Feed the Christ life within. Let the sap rise. The old will fall off. Dead, gone, it'll fall away. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Sister Redden, for challenging us to walk in the Spirit. Amen. And may God help us to be doers and not just hearers of the word. Amen. To know the truth is one thing. To live the truth requires the work of the Spirit. Let's pray. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Holy Spirit, work in our lives. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. What we have received this week from the Lord is not something that begins and ends with 1 hour of chapel a day, but it's something that must be in our lives on a continual basis. Praise God. Thank you again for your ministry to all of these faculty members who so beautifully have shared with us. We will have tapes available. You can purchase this series for $5 down in the bookstore. All four of the messages you can purchase on tape for $5 if you would like to have these. And I know they will be a blessing to you, not only now, but as you listen and hear them again and the Lord touches them to your lives. Let's stand together, please.